Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
All right, we're back, everybody.
Good day, listeners.
Good day. That's my phrase. Good day.
You say good day?
I always say good day.
Okay, I'll say good day.
To all our Australian listeners out there, because yeah. I know there are a bunch of you guys out there.
Yeah.
That's fine. I say good day, and you say?
Good day.
Good day. Good day. Well, good day, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here in the studio, of course, with...
Blythe Alberg. Hi, everybody. How's everyone doing today? Hope you're doing fantastic, because I know both of us are full of energy, and we are ready to hit another podcast, number 19 tonight.
19, yes.
Woo!
And today's topic, we really have no idea. You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning, and we just cannot wait to get to the studio to see what we have to say. And this will be one of those days, right?
I love it. We can always come up with something to talk about. You and I, we banter well.
Okay, I'm not being entirely truthful. I do have an idea where we want to go with this, but sometimes these shows just take a life of their own, and we just, we'll see where it takes us.
Even when we start with an outline, sometimes they take a life of their own.
Yes, very true. But no outline today, guys. We're just going to shoot the breeze with you. You know, wax philosophical, if you will, about weight loss, fitness.
Exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, today, we're going to start with, I think, a rather interesting discussion. Because I think weight loss, you know, when we're talking about weight loss from the physical perspective, mm-hmm. we usually talk about how diet is 80 to 85% of the picture.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And exercise being the other part of the picture.
Right. But when we're looking at weight loss in general, I would venture to say that about 75% of the picture, as it pertains to weight loss in general, would mm-hmm. be the psychology. Right.
Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Keep going.
Okay. Why don't I start by, because I don't think I've told the story about how I got started in weight loss and fitness. I know we did in the past, but I don't think those shows ever made it to air because I think we messed them up somewhere
okay.
along the line.
Tell me the story, Ray.
Okay, so when I was young, I think I was about 12, 13 years old, I had a crush on this girl named Kelly Barrington.
Okay.
Okay. And she was in my neighborhood. She was about 2 years my elder. And, man, I was head over heels in love with her.
She was like
girl.
The babe of the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But she wanted nothing to do with me because, number one, I was much younger. You know, in those mm-hmm. days,
sure.
2 years is like an eternity.
Yeah.
I was a chubby, nugget-head little kid. Now, I got that way because my parents, really not knowing any better, would feed me the cereals in the morning that said, you know,
part of a complete breakfast?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I would eat Fruity Pebbles mm-hmm. and Cocoa Puffs.
And have a glass of orange juice on the side.
Big glass of orange juice. Oh, yeah. Sometimes two or three, I would mm-hmm. imagine. And I would fill the bowl, and I'd pour in a bunch of 2% milk, because 2% was, of course, healthier than whole
sure.
milk.
Sure.
And I would eat, you know, literally half a box of cereal every morning. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't long. I had put on quite a bit of weight. I had this big nugget head. My brothers used to call me Planner's peanut, because my head literally looked like a peanut. And long story short, she wanted nothing to do with me because,
okay.
yeah, okay. Well, one day I find myself at a neighborhood Christmas party, and somehow I had gotten a hold of Kelly's shoe.
Ooh.
And don't ask me how. You know how kids are. We just, you know.
It's a prized possession.
Yeah, and I found myself being chased through the house by the woman of my dreams.
Okay.
And I wasn't the swiftest creature in the world, so she quickly got me cornered. And I remember being cornered, and I turned around holding the shoe in my hands, and the words that came out of her mouth, I'll never forget them. She said, "You're fat. Give me back my shoe."
Heart-crushing.
You have no idea. You know, I gave her back her shoe, put my head down, walked past her, walked across the street, went to my room, and proceeded to cry for what seemed to be like 2 or 3 hours. And then there was a spark that hit me. I looked over in the corner of the room, and I saw this weight set that was sitting there. Actually, it wasn't a weight set. It was a single dumbbell.
Okay.
That, you know, this kind that you'd have to put the weights on the side.
You can add plates.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there was only one side and one
the little screw thing screw that holds thing, the right. weight on.
So I pushed that weight to the middle of the dumbbell, and I would curl it with both arms for what seemed to be 200-300 times. It was, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I just did whatever I could. So I picked up the weight, and I started curling the weight until I fell back on my bed exhausted. Next morning, you know, get up, go to school. My parents would put me to bed that night. As soon as they turned the lights off, flip them back on, pick up that weight, and just start curling it. And I did that night after night after night until one day I woke up in the morning and I looked in the mirror while my brother was brushing his teeth. And I remember flexing my arm, and I had this bubble on my arm. And I remember him stopping stopping brushing his teeth. And he looked at it. He's like, where the heck did that come from? It was a muscle, you know? And I remember just being, you know, just filled
like
up
empowered?
With energy and power, because I felt like I was making progress. My ultimate goal being to one day have the woman of my dreams fall madly in love with my buff self. You
yeah,
know?
Sure.
So,
or your right bicep.
Whichever came first.
Sure.
Whichever came first. So, you know, that just lit a fire in me. And so I started going to the library. And, God, you remember the libraries?
Do
kids still use the library?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Okay. I remember going to the library and getting
whatever. It's not as much of a resource, I don't think, anymore. Because going to the library used to be, like, the only place you can go.
Exactly.
Now you can access.
This is pre-internet, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Let's not talk about that.
Keep moving forward. I went to the library, got as many books as I could on the subject, and just started reading about nutrition, about fitness, whatever books were there. And there weren't a lot of them.
Good for you. There's not a lot of kids that age that will actually go out and do that, but there are some out there. And actually, we get emails from some people that age.
I think times are different now. Mm-hmm. I think times are different. But, and I get emails from kids that are kind of in that same position. Mm. And, you know, anyway, I started running just because it's the only other thing I could think to do. I didn't have gym membership. I just started running. Every night I would get up and I would run in the dark. I would take a stick with me because it got so dark I didn't know what I was going to come up to, you know, while I was running through the dark. But nothing was going to stop me. I was going to get Kelly Harrington to fall in love with me. Whoops. I used a real name. Anyway, if you know her, don't
she may very well be a listener.
You never can tell. Never can tell. Anyway, so you know, I lost a tremendous amount of weight.
Okay.
You know, it just seemed to fall off. I just stopped eating as much, and I just started exercising more.
So you became conscious of what you were doing and that there were other choices that you could make.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You were taking control. That's pretty cool.
Well, why was I taking control, though? And this is kind of where I wanted to start the topic of the show with, which is a lot of the reason why people don't make the changes necessary in their lives is because they simply don't have enough leverage on themselves.
Mm.
And at that point, when Kelly told me that I was fat and to give her back her shoe, I mean, first of all, number one, I realized at the time, at that moment, that I was overweight. I don't believe that I knew I was overweight at that time. As a kid, you just don't really think about these things until somebody, usually in your own peer group, tells you you are something.
Right.
And at that point, like, my world just completely changed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes that level of, you know, kind of, I don't know,
like
jolt.
A new awareness or like a
jolt, like a
shocking.
The truth is people think change happens slowly in life, but you know, the reality is change happens on a dime. I mean, your life turns on a dime. It may take a long time before you have that jolting moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the jolting moment, that's when life
like
really begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really want people to think about what it is they need out there to make permanent change.
Mm, okay.
And to really try to dig and find that leverage, you know, that thing that you really cannot live without. At that time, to a kid, you know, that the woman of your dreams, the girl of your dreams or the woman of your dreams, that was like life or death.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And I mean, it's funny to say it now as an adult, but that was life or death.
Well, that is your life at that time.
Right.
Right.
Everything. Right. Especially when at 12 or 13 years old.
Right. It's all encompassing.
So what people really need to find is that, Joel, what is it in your life right now that really is what you're fighting for? And I think too many times people try to adopt other people's reasons. Like, Well, you know, you don't want to have a heart attack. You know, your family will say, you don't want to have a heart attack, do you? And you say, well, you know, I guess I don't want a heart attack. Mm-hmm. But inside, you really don't believe that you're going to have a heart attack.
Right.
And so that's not your real motivation. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this in the past, where if your motivation is you want to fit in a pair of jeans that you've never been able to fit mm-hmm. into, then be okay saying that. Right.
Yeah. Own it.
So speaking of leverage, you have a lot of experience with leverage, right?
Yes.
Because you are a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there will come a time when you're getting ready for a competition where you have to go up and stand up in front of hundreds of people, sometimes thousands of people.
Which I'm totally – nobody wants to – well, I shouldn't say nobody, but I don't know anybody who wants to get up on stage in a bikini and say, look at me and pick out every single one of my flaws. I mean, that's like I'm putting myself under the ultimate spotlight, and it's extremely uncomfortable, but that works for me. That gets me to my goal. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be anything less than my absolute best each time I step on stage.
Right. And a lot of that has to do because you don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
The truth of the matter is you don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
When you go up wearing practically nothing. I mean, these are
teeny tiny, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikinis.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a type of leverage. Mm-hmm. And let's distinguish between the two main types of leverage, okay? There are two types of leverage that will get people to make change.
Okay.
There's push and there's pull leverage, okay? Push leverage is something like that.
Okay.
Like either yourself or somebody else is pushing you to make a change.
So like setting a goal and aiming for it, like setting a goal of like a race coming up, or is that what you mean?
Well, okay, if we
like
use,
yourself,
if we
use, you
well,
set
first
something
let's use that. You as an example, getting ready for a competition. Okay. What you described is what we would call a push type leverage,
okay.
Because you're being pushed to do something because you don't want to feel a certain way.
Gotcha.
Pull leverage is kind of the opposite. It's where you have this image, oh, I want to be healthy, I want to be vibrant, I want to be energetic, I want to feel good on the beach. That can be a pulling type.
Okay.
I mean, you can literally feel the difference in how those two statements sound,
right? Yes.
And you can feel the difference in energy. So here's the deal. This is how most people go about making change or beginning the process of weight loss, okay? They usually slowly and steadily increase in weight. The scale kind of goes up and up and up until they finally cross this threshold, this line in the sand, if you will, that says, okay, well, I've never been heavier than 220 pounds.
Right.
Okay, so your brain has this line in the sand that says, if I cross at 220 pounds, then that's the indication that something's got to change, right? And that's what happens. You cross that line. And then you say, all right, now's the time. I got to make the change. And you're motivated to make changes that you wouldn't otherwise make.
Right, had you never reached that weight. Mm-hmm.
Right. So here's the problem with just using that as your motivation. What happens when your pain, basically when you reach and you cross that line, you've reached a level of pain that you're not willing to deal with.
You don't want to tolerate being that weight, but now you're there.
Right. There's people who say you will accept as much abuse as you will give yourself and not an ounce more. And then once somebody crosses that line, once somebody abuses you more than you abuse yourself, then you will make a change to get out of that relationship or make a change in your life.
Yeah.
And in this situation, okay, so you reach a certain level of pain. That pain causes a change. You begin to lose weight. And let's say you go from 220 and you lose 20 pounds, but you're still, let's say, 30 pounds overweight.
Okay.
Well, the pain has decreased enough that you begin to lose that motivation, that push type motivation.
Yeah.
So then you begin to fall off the wagon,
right.
You know?
I see that happen a lot. And sometimes the line in the sand is people looking at a photo of themselves and they honestly don't recognize themselves. I've had at least 3 or 4 clients come to me and they all turn into bodybuilders, which I think is exceptionally cool because that sport tends to attract, natural bodybuilding tends to attract people who really don't want to be judged, who it's very painful to be overweight and have so far to come, but it's like the ultimate goal. But I hear from people all the time, oh, I looked at a picture of myself and I didn't recognize myself.
Right.
So whether it's, you know, the line in the sand of the way you look, the line in the sand of the number on the scale, which I think probably a lot of people can relate to is that number on the scale.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, when did you look the best in your life? What was your most comfortable weight? Who says you can't get back there? You know, I think it's totally the truth. And I think that could be leverage for a lot of people. Get motivated to feel the way you did when you were 18, 19, 20, 21. Remember how great you felt?
That's a pool type motivation.
Yes.
And, you know, when you talk about bodybuilders, what happens after the bodybuilding competition?
Oh, you know,
when that push type motivation is no longer present.
It's almost like you're lost. You have this goal and you work so hard to get to that one day. And once that day is over, the world is yours. You can eat brownies for breakfast. I mean, really, you can do whatever the heck you want, but your mind doesn't know where to go from there. So I think a lot of people are kind of stuck in the, I don't know where to go from here. They rely a lot on marketing, which is something that I've really this past week been disgusted with, as far as like commercials saying part of a nutritious breakfast, like what we were talking about at the beginning, your foods, a lot of things out there are false marketing. You know, so people
very
think
much.
They're eating healthy. They think they're moving towards their goal, whether it be weight loss or, you know, losing just body fat, whatever. But it's really hard to get there unless you educate yourself, which I like that you mentioned that when you were 13, you went and you started by educating yourself, whether you're listening to a podcast, whether you're reading a book, you know, we recommend all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
That will kind of keep the leverage going.
I think it does. And the education helps too, because when you learn something, you feel more empowered.
Yes. It becomes a part of you when you have a reason to do it. And once you have a reason and an understanding for it, it can be a lifestyle change because now you know why.
But that's the problem. I don't think enough people really honestly ask themselves, why am I doing this? Why am I making this change? Because if you look at it, most people use only a push motivation.
Okay.
And whenever you have a push motivation, you have a tendency to have something in you that's pushing back, don't
okay.
you? There's always a resistance.
Oh, yeah.
There. There's always a resistance there. So you guys really have to do some soul searching and figure out what is going to pull me through during the difficult times. What is going to continue to pull me through for the rest of life?
Yeah.
Because just like the bodybuilding competition, any kind of motivation that has an end point, well, you're ruined.
Right.
Because when you reach that end point, like you said, you're lost.
Mm-hmm. You're completely back to ground zero with no direction.
Right. And what does that lead to ultimately?
Oh, weight gain.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, there's no restraints. There's no rules to follow. So it's extremely important, you know, whether it's for health or just losing a couple of pounds, you know, it's really extremely important to make sure you draw a line in the sand for yourself on the healthy side rather than I don't want to be this fat. How about I want to be this healthy?
Yes. And I think a lot of people miss out on that. You know, we've talked about how there are three components to the perfect weight loss program. The first one is body composition.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. The purpose of a weight loss program is to lose fat.
Yes.
Accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think pretty much everybody out there would raise their hand if we say, who wants to lose fat?
Right.
Hello, hands up.
And now, is it possible to lose fat in an unhealthy way?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Extremely.
So the second component of the perfect weight loss program is it promotes health in your body, right?
Correct. Because with health comes balance. With balance comes the natural way your body is supposed to be. And being 100 pounds overweight is not natural.
Right. So is it possible to lose weight, lose fat, and be healthier? Meaning, let's say your cholesterol comes down.
Yeah.
Oh. And yet lose energy, not be energetic? It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So the third component is to promote the energy that you need to do the things in life that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
to live on your own terms, right?
Yes.
So those are the three components of the perfect weight loss program. It promotes a good body composition, promotes health,
mm-hmm.
and it promotes the energy that you need, the performance that you need to be able to do the things in life that you want to do.
Yeah. Hopefully that's be active and enjoy your day to day.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good discussion on motivation and push and pull.
Yeah, I like the leverage aspect. I think everybody out there can, like you said, do some soul searching. Sit down and really give yourself a good look over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what drives you, what motivates you. If you're a competitive person, enter a competition.
But
you
again,
know, not necessarily a bodybuilding competition, but hey, maybe there's a work competition going on, you
but
know,
it can't
because
end there. That's the thing.
Correct.
You've got to also have the other part of that. The perfect program is going to have both a push and a pull part to it. because
can I mention something like Jenny Craig? Those all are known to work, but again, they come with an end date unless you plan on eating Jenny Craig for the rest of your life.
Which is nearly impossible, let me tell you, because it is depressing to eat that food consistently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
those programs do work, but
they do work.
Not on the long term.
Well, they work for weight loss. And let me tell you something. You know, I was giving this a lot of thought because Jenny Craig,
Weight Watchers, South Beach...
What is another commercial program? Well, I'm talking more like the commercial programs like Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers. There's one other, Nutrisystem.
Oh, Nutrisystem,
yes. They all work.
Sure.
And the support that they have, I mean, when you go to these centers, oftentimes the people that are working there don't really have an educational background. Mm. They change from week to week. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who's going through Jenny Craig right now and said that the counselor that she gets every week is different because people are leaving all the time. Mm. They are not healthy looking. Mm-hmm. They don't have good attitudes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, why is it that she's been able to lose weight even though she's going to a program that's not very good? And I've come to the solution to that question.
Okay, tell me.
It's because anybody can lose weight. Any idiot can help somebody lose weight. And I'm using strong language here because I honestly believe it doesn't take much for somebody to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can they help somebody maintain that weight loss for life? It's a totally different question. What causes weight loss does not necessarily cause weight maintenance.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to teach somebody the concepts that they need to be able to maintain weight loss for life. It's not so hard to get somebody to lose weight, right?
Right. No, because just by upping your water intake, you may drop 5 pounds in a week or two.
Cutting calories, just cutting calories can cause weight to be lost, but
sure. That's
not necessarily the most effective way to maintain that weight.
Unless you plan on eating no calories for the rest of your life and having a horrible energy.
Yeah, eating out of a cardboard box that's microwaved every night. Trust me, that's a good example of how it promotes body composition changes but doesn't promote health and doesn't promote energy and performance.
Right. So what all these people that are listening to us are looking for is something that's got all three components so you can be successful in the long term. Who wants to go on another crash diet? I know most people don't. I mean, unless you know you've got a short-term goal that you want to meet, fine. But find something long-term that's going to get you through.
Absolutely.
If you're going to put all that effort and self-motivation into something, why not make it last?
Absolutely. And you know, again, guys, I want you to go into this with the mentality that there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference in the program that you will need to be able to lose the weight and to maintain it. And you know, it's much more complicated. Yeah, you know, that's why we have 95% failure rates with diets. That's what the research literature suggests, is that 95% of the people who lose weight gain it all back, and then some in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you know, something I think about often, actually, is there's so many quick fix ways out there, you know, whether it's diet pills or energy drinks or 100-calorie packs that you can eat all day long, you know, cutting calories to not eating at all to eating nothing but protein and fat. Okay. I mean, you've got all sorts of diets out there. And the one thing I think is that everybody's attracted to those things because they're known to work fast, but nobody ever talks about working for length, you know, for the rest of your life. I mean, if you go on South Beach because you've been told you have diabetes, you can live on South Beach for the rest of your life. I mean, what about your cholesterol? What about your blood pressure?
It's tough. I mean, South Beach typically improves all those things, but it's tough. I mean, it really is. I'm not convinced that South Beach promotes long-term weight loss because, again, it comes back to the psychology of it.
Yeah.
A lot of this is the psychology of weight loss.
But we all want a quick fix. We all want quick food to go. We all want quick cars. We all want quick gas stations. Everything's got to be quick. You know what I mean? And then we get to the point where this is something, this is your life, this is your health. It's going to take a little bit of time. And I enjoy that people who are listening are doing some research. I mean, I call this research. You're listening to us helping guide you through proper weight loss.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you said that about everybody wants a quick fix because the latest review that somebody gave us on iTunes She's like, one of my favorite quotes was, if you want to lose weight fast, lop off an arm and a leg. I think you said that.
I do remember that. That was you. That was hilarious.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Or, you know, just move the scale to a different part of the room and it'll probably change a couple
points. You might lose a couple pounds. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, guys, we're in it for the long run with you guys. And we hope that you are in it for the long run as well. Because... what's the point? Like you say, what's the point if you're just going to lose weight for 2 or 3 months?
People are gung-ho. They can do it for like 3 months. Hardcore. Number one, it doesn't have to be so hardcore for 3 months. How about a little less hardcore for a longer amount of time?
Yeah, totally.
And own that and keep that. You know, you don't bust your butt and then gain it all back, which is what I see happen all the time. I would like to see people enjoy the results for the rest of their lives.
Very good. Very good. I think that was a good discussion.
Me too.
All right. So let's do this. As you guys know, the last podcast, we did an interview with Jade and Keone Tita.
Yes.
Of the book, The New Me Diet, mm-hmm. The New Metabolic Effect Diet. And people really seem to enjoy that. I know a lot of people went out and purchased the book. Mm-hmm. And there was one person in our discussion board who bought the book and found that they were already losing weight. And a lot of the concepts in there... We have repeated in previous mm-hmm. podcasts, but I think that they put it into a good little system, made it very easy read.
Yeah, very easy to read with some exercise tips and stuff mm-hmm. at the back. I think it's so like all inclusive. It's a great book to have. If you guys are looking to do some research, that's a good one.
Yeah,
good place
it's
to
a good
start.
Place to start. Yeah. And I wanted to give you guys a tip that will make the effects of that program even more powerful, even more effective. Okay. So, as you know, a lot of the program speaks to using aggressive exercise for shorter periods mm-hmm. of time. And I know that they like to focus on weight training. And their weight trainings are very much a combination of weight training and interval training. Mm-hmm. What was it they called it?
Rest-pause training.
Rest-pause training. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it triggers a hormonal event in your body that promotes fat loss, right?
Awesome.
So... some of the more recent research has come out that showed that the hormonal effect, as far as its impact on fat loss, is delayed by about 2 to 3 hours. So after the exercise session is finished, it may take 2 or 3 hours before the body really cranks up fat loss.
Mm.
And specifically, it seems as though growth hormone seems to be at the head or at the front of the line okay. as it pertains to how that's affecting the weight loss. So one thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to lower your growth hormone levels within 2 to 3 hours after the workout, right? You want to promote growth hormone levels
and
to be elevated.
How would you lower them?
You would lower them by eating carbohydrates. Mm. Whenever you increase insulin levels, that has a tendency to lower growth hormone levels.
Okay.
So if you finish your workout and you consume higher protein meals for the time after the workout, you may see significant improvements in fat loss.
Mm.
And at the same time, you don't limit the benefit of the exercise session that you
okay.
had. So that's just a little tip that I think you guys might be able to put to use right away to further improve.
I think everybody could use that. Yeah.
Great. And one of our listeners on the discussion boards asked a question, and that was, she was listening to the podcast, and obviously she heard us speak about interval training, because mm-hmm. we talk about interval training all the time.
Yes.
And interval training has a similar effect to the rest-pause training
yes.
that they talk about in metabolic mm-hmm. in the metabolic effect diet. And the question she had was, well, I'm starting with interval training, and right now all I'm doing is I'm walking, and then I'm running as hard as I can for as long as I can, and then I'm walking again, and then I'm running again, as hard as I can for as long mm-hmm. as I can, and then I'm walking.
Okay.
So basically, we call that fartlek training, which basically is you run as hard as you can up until, you know, you can't run anymore.
Okay.
And then you walk.
Okay.
You know? So there's no time period. Like, it's not like you're going for, a minute walk, 30-second sprint,
mm-hmm.
a minute walk, 30-second sprint. You just do it as long as you can, as fast as you can, until you're fatigued.
Okay. So
that
sprint has to be all out. Like, not
right.
6 miles an hour. That might be a sprint for some people, for
right.
brand new people. But a full-out sprint. Like, you've got to exert yourself for that amount of time. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
So she just wanted to know if that's an okay approach to starting.
Oh, sure. I would. Oh my gosh! If you're starting that way, you're probably going to see fantastic results very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, send us an email. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, and that's one thing I also wanted to talk to you guys about. If you guys have testimonials about how you've listened to the podcast, put to use some of the tactics and techniques that we've talked about, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to be able to put up on the website a kind of a wall of fame of people who've successfully lost weight kind of using some of these tips and techniques.
I know there's one out there. He's on our Facebook page.
There's a bunch of them out there that have dropped emails about the kind of benefits that they've got. But I'd love to be able to put those on a wall of fame somewhere on the website. So if you guys have testimonials, send them over.
Love them. Oh, yeah. They give me goosebumps every time.
Oh, yeah.
We love reading the emails to each other. It's great, guys.
And if it's okay for us to put them up on the web, just let us know on the email. Otherwise, we will not put it up unless we have permission to do so. So,
sure.
Okay. So I wanted to say one thing to that listener who spoke of the fartlek training.
Okay.
She didn't know. I don't think she knew it was fartlek training or it had a name, but basically you're just running as hard as you can.
Okay.
Here's a tip to make it even more effective. Get a small notebook and call it your interval training notebook.
Okay.
And decide how long you're going to work out. So let's say your interval session is 20 minutes and just leave it at 20 minutes. Okay. And within that 20 minute period, what you do is after you're done with your session, you write down the number of calories that you burned and the distance that you went. And then the next session, you have one goal, and that is get further. So if you burned 120 calories in that session, you try to burn at least 121.
Okay.
Or
move a farther distance.
Or go a further distance. Mm-hmm. You just choose which one is easiest for you to monitor, yep, which one you resonate with.
That's a great one.
And so that way, every session will be just a tiny bit more intense. And that way you're acting as your own coach, right?
Yes. And that's progressive. It's great. That's a great way to start. That's actually, if you're someone who already trains and you're not doing that type of training, if you incorporate that into your workouts and start like we recommend, you're going to see results. That's the best, in my opinion, type of training. And you get quick results as far as fat loss goes.
Absolutely.
Maybe you won't lose any weight, because we have a lot of discussions about that, not dropping any actual pounds. If you're someone who's doing weight training and you're also doing the type of interval training, you may not drop pounds, but you're definitely going to lose body fat.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a listener of this show, then you already have a system for monitoring your results in an appropriate way, right,
guys? We talked about that early on.
A number of times. Make sure it's not just the scale you're using. If it's just the scale, it's not enough.
That's right.
So anything else you want to add?
I think that was a great, actually, discussion.
Housekeeping stuff? You want to talk about Facebook?
You guys, if you haven't found us on Facebook yet, we actually have a link on our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We have a little link. You can click on the F for Facebook. Otherwise, if you are already a Facebook member, you can just search in the box, type in Cut the Fat Podcast, and up will come our page. We do have a discussion board on there. We've got great questions on there. You can go through and read and see if anything maybe something you would like to ask, or you can post up a new question and we will be sure to answer. Got motivational quotes that come up there every once in a while. So if you're looking for a little extra push, a little extra leverage, that would be another resource for you.
Yep. Social support's a great way to get some social support online. Maybe we can put up a testimonials, discussion board. So that way you can just leave your testimonials on the discussion board. How's that sound?
You're a thinker, Ray.
High five. High
Love five. It. Woo!
Yes. Okay. All right, guys. We're going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns, as always. This is the song is called New Song. And check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. If you want, check us out on the web at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. Also, please, guys, go on to iTunes and leave comments and,
Rate us.
So,
I think we're number 3 in the world right now, and I would like to just kind of move up.
Got to get up to number 2 and then to number 1. I mean, number 1 is going to be a tough one because I know they got a bunch of listeners. They got some good backing behind them. You guys are going to have to work extra hard to get people to sign up. Yeah, the way iTunes does it is they look at ratings.
Uh-huh.
They look at how many people are subscribing. So if you're going through and you're just downloading each episode, don't do that. Subscribe so that it automatically gets downloaded to your iPod.
Yeah.
And please tell all your friends. Get them to sign up. And the more people that sign up at once, the faster it is that the show can move up.
Cool.
All right. So there's a little bit of insight into iTunes. And, hey, thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you got some value today.
I believe they did. Free.
We'll see you next time on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Good night.
Make you feel your days, but for now I wish you'd just come back when you're okay. Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow. It's hard to really...